This is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly podcast about the Iowa legislative session. I'm John Pimble.
Those voting aye, 19. Those voting nay, 28. The amendment is defeated.
That's the sound of Democrats losing in the Iowa Senate.
Those voting aye, 28. Those voting no, 19. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have
passed. That's the sound of Republicans winning in the Senate. With 29 Republicans and 20 Democrats in the Senate, the Republicans are having their way on everything. Well, so far. This includes the most anticipated legislation of this session, a proposed budget cut for the current fiscal year, which ends on June 30th. Senate File 130 passed on Thursday afternoon, removing $113 million from this year's budget. Senator Charles Schneider gives opening remarks for the bill.
Sections 2 and 5 of Article 7 of the Iowa Constitution, together with various statutory provisions in the Iowa Code, require that the governor and the General Assembly enact a balanced budget and avoid budget deficits. In an effort to help ensure the passage of a balanced budget, an expenditure limitation law was enacted in 1992 that established statutory guidelines for the General Assembly and the governor to follow for enactment of annual budgets. During the last legislative session, the legislature passed a budget that spent close to that expenditure limitation. Revenue estimates have since been revised downward, which means that we will have to reduce expenditures for the current fiscal year so that we avoid being in a deficit and so that we can conform with Iowa law. The cuts that we have now been forced to make certainly are not easy, and they are not something any of us want to do. Rather, they are something that we are forced to do. In applying these cuts, we work closely with the governor's office and with leadership in the House to do the following. First, we set priorities. We held K-12 education, Medicaid, and property tax credits, including the backfill to cities, harmless. That meant that we decided not to touch two-thirds of the general fund budget. Second, we made every effort to reduce the impact to the remaining one-third of the budget. In particular, we did our best to minimize the impact of the reductions to the community colleges, the University of Northern Iowa, the Department of Public Safety, and the Department of Corrections.
As the Senate discussion moves forward, Democrats attack the cuts for higher education. Senator Joe Bolcom says cutting $3 million to community colleges and $18 million to public universities will hurt growth in Iowa.
Community colleges and our public universities have just experienced the worst decade of state support in history. The most damaging cuts in this bill will continue to cause significant harm to our community colleges and universities. These cuts will result in tuition increases for every community college and public university student and family in Iowa. This bill creates more student debt. More graduates will leave Iowa for well-paying jobs in other states to pay off their student debt. More barriers to success and growth, growth, growth. Our employers are crying for more skilled and educated workforce. This bill tells them to go fish. And broken promises. You all campaigned on supporting education, and your first vote on the Senate floor is to cut funding for education. Nice broken promise.
Senator Mark Shulgren responds.
Thank you, Senator Bolcom, for your speech. I'm somewhat amazed at the perspective.
Senator Shulgren cites fiscal year 2010, when then-Governor Culver made across-the-board budget cuts.
We talk about our responsibilities and broken promises, so let's talk about them. Let's talk about what happens if we fail to do our job. Let's talk about what the governor's responsibility is then. So if we fail to go through there and make the difficult choices that have to be made, the responsible choices of cutting where we have overspent in the past, then what will happen is what happened to Governor Culver. When Governor Culver had Senate Democrats, Senate House members who gave him a bill that failed, they did not have the courage to stand up and line by line go through every issue and try to figure out the best way to solve that problem. He was left with one choice. That was a 10% across the board cut to everything.
Part of the bill is to reduce this session by 10 days, saving $600,000. That means the session could continue past 100 days, but legislators would not be paid for the per diems for expenses if that happens. Senate Minority Leader Rob Hogue offered an amendment to cut the session back to 99 days, but it was rejected.
We said, let's shorten the legislative session more. But you said, no, I need 100 days. We could have gone down to 95, 90. We would have been happy to entertain that. No discussion, no feedback. We talked about taking money away from the governor's office. And you said, no. Got to protect the governor. You didn't even do the cut that the governor proposed for himself. So there are lots of solutions. There are lots of solutions out there. And you said on Monday, we're going to be done Thursday and do it.
And 10 minutes after Senator Hogue's speech, the Senate did it, 28-19. Senate Majority Leader Bill Dix asks for the bill to move on to the House.
I'd like to ask for unanimous consent to immediately message Senate File 130 to the House.
Next week, it is expected to pass in the House and be signed into law by Governor Branstad. Senate File 25 is a bill authored by Senator Mark Shelgren that proposes changes to the state's Stand Your Ground law. The law's change will remove a person's obligation to retreat before using deadly force in self-defense. Senator Shelgren and Democratic Representative Mary Wolf talk about this bill from the Capitol's Law Library on our talk show River to River, hosted by Ben Kiefer and Joyce Russell. Here's Senator Shelgren.
Well, the basic premise behind this is right now in Iowa, you have a duty to retreat. So if you believe that there's a risk to you, then your first choice of action is to leave. As far as I'm concerned, that means that we've really limited the ability for good people to stand up and try to protect others.
What is the wording that is in the bill that describes the level of threat that needs to be reached for you to lawfully defend yourself, even if retreat is a possible option?
Well, the first thing that it does is it strikes the clause under reasonable force, and basically it says, requires one to abandon or retreat from one's dwelling or place of business or employment. And that's the under current law. What it replaces it with, though, is a person may be wrong in the estimation of danger or force necessary to repel the danger as long as there is a reasonable basis for the belief of the person and the person acts reasonably in the response to that belief. A person who is not engaged in illegal activity has no duty to retreat from any place where the person is lawfully present before using force as specified in this chapter. Mm-hmm. So basically,
if I understand that correctly, Senator, if you feel fearful for your life, but perhaps afterwards it's maybe others would presume, well, that wasn't really reasonable. But if you, the person it's happening to, feel fearful for your life, you can defend yourself with lethal force.
It has to be reasonable. I mean, that's the whole issue behind it.
Okay, so a judge would
absolutely
would see whether that was reasonable or not.
And remember, mm-hmm. Here's what the basis comes down to. I can speak for me and hundreds of thousands of fellow Iowans, that if I see someone being assaulted, if I see someone being raped, my first choice of action isn't to leave. My first choice of action is to try to assist that individual. I'm at the same time going to try to call for police backup. I'm going to try to make sure that we're taking care of people. But in the state of Iowa, at least, we have a lot of decent people who want to go out there and do the right things, but our laws prescribe them to not, and that's a problem. And that's what I'm trying to fix with this.
Okay. Mary Wolf, a state representative from Clinton, bare bones of the bill that Senator Shelgren just described. Do you have a problem with that?
I think there is a widespread misunderstanding of what Iowa law does and doesn't allow right now. So Iowa's current self-defense justification is a legal word for it. Law is set out in Iowa Chapter 704. And the very first statute, 704.1, makes it clear that a Iowan has no duty to retreat, and I'm quoting here, no duty to retreat from any situation involving force if doing so entails a risk of life or safety or the risk or a risk to the life or safety of a third party, or requires one to abandon or retreat from one's dwelling or place of business or employment. So in Iowa, if you are confronted by force, either against yourself or another person, you have no duty to retreat unless you can do so 100% safely. Like, it's clear that, and obviously if you come across someone being raped or someone being assaulted, if you retreat, clearly that is that poses a risk to the life or safety of the person who is being raped. So I just, you know, this idea that we do have a stand your ground law in Iowa, and there's such a narrow exception of when you are not allowed to stand your ground that I'm not aware of any case in Iowa in which someone has claimed justification or that they acted in self-defense and they've been found guilty based on a finding that they didn't retreat, because we have almost no obligation to retreat in Iowa.
Senator Shelgren, is that true? Are there any incidents in the recent past that point to the need for this sort of change, that where someone would have defended themselves with lethal force and then was punished for it?
Yeah, absolutely, there are. Let me explain this. This is a clarification, because right now, we virtually in the state of Iowa will not prosecute someone who stands their ground. But that doesn't mean that there isn't civil liability, and that individual doing the right thing can still be sued for their possessions, everything they've worked for. And so it's not just a criminality, it's also a civil issue. And so we have to take both into account when we look at this.
Can you point to a case or two where you see the it's just too much gray area and needs to be firmed up by a tighter wording in the law?
I'll try to get that information for you directly. I've seen multiple situations where it's come up where someone has had to defend themselves from the civil side of it, and I'll try to get specifics.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I could just mention, so in Iowa, under Iowa Code 707.6, a person who injures another person through the use of reasonable force in defense of himself or others or someone else or his property is immune from civil liability. So it is already the law in Iowa that you cannot be sued if you defend yourself, another person, your property, and in doing so, you harm the other person. Now, that doesn't mean that someone can't file a lawsuit, but they can't win.
Representative Wolf, do you know of anyone filing a lawsuit successfully or otherwise?
I don't. The only similar situation was back in, I think, 74, 75. Someone broke into an abandoned farmhouse. There was a trap gun set up to shoot that, you know, someone who breaks in, and that trespasser was allowed to sue the owner of the property on the grounds that the owner wasn't in the home, he wasn't protecting himself, and that. Other than that very old case, I'm not aware of any case where anybody has been sued because they used reasonable force against an aggressor.
Just to be clear, Senator Shelgren, do you know of any civil cases that have worked against someone defending themselves, successful or otherwise?
No, I don't know of any recent ones, no.
Mm-hmm. Any ones at all?
Yes, I actually am familiar with others. I'll bring the information. I didn't bring all of the notes in for this specific bill. I write 25 bills, in the first 2 weeks of session. But I'll get the information for you directly. But what I find interesting about this conversation is we seem to agree. We agree that someone who is defending themselves and is defending others should have clear and concise rights. So this bill clarifies that. And so I'm not hearing an argument that we shouldn't have these. Matter of fact, I'm hearing the argument that we have these, and that's a good thing. And so by enhancing those and making it clear and concise for the courts, there is absolutely no downside to this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
Representative Wolf, you see yourself in complete agreement with Senator Shelgren?
I find myself in complete agreement that Iowans have the right to protect themselves, their family, their possession, and that, I guess where we disagree is I believe that under current code, that's already clear. Here's what I will say. Chapter 704 could use some cleaning up. There are some very long, convoluted sentences. It's not as clear as it should be. But with all due respect to Senator Shelgren's legislation, I'm concerned that it would just muddy up the waters and make it much more confusing. So again, I would just urge everyone, take a look at Chapter 704, go through it. We do have currently stand your ground law in Iowa. You are allowed to use reasonable force, including deadly force, to protect yourself or a third party, and under all sorts of other situations. So it's very broad, our current protection.
Senator Shelgren, does your bill make it give the person who is standing their ground, does it give them more leeway to be wrong about the danger that they're in?
I think it should give them more confidence that when they make that decision, the system isn't going to abuse them. And so when you talk about more leeway to be wrong, I mean, it maintains the exact same verbiage with regards to their responsibility to use their best judgment in this process. But at the same time, current laws, I totally agree with Representative Wolf, you know, it is a muddied chapter. We need clarification on that. And whenever you have chapters in Iowa Code that are poorly written or convoluted, it takes that question in a very stressful time whether or not someone should be doing this. I know quite a few individuals who believe that they're trying to do the right thing but are fearful that somehow they're going to get caught up into the system. And this makes it very, very clear to them that if you are doing it for the right reasons and you are protecting someone or yourself from a felonious act, then you will be protected.
And Representative Wolf, do you agree that Senator Shelgren's bill makes it gives the person more leeway to be wrong?
Well, two things.
More protection if they're wrong.
Right. Two things. One, I think there is a lot of confusion about what you are allowed to do in Iowa, and part of that is because, with all due respect, as we started this radio show, I think I heard Senator Shelgren saying you are not allowed to stand your ground in Iowa. And, you know, people hear that. They think it's true, and it simply is not. You are allowed to stand your ground. As far as, yeah, not so much this bill, but he filed SF-70, and that is where we see the requirement that a person's belief that deadly force is necessary is not required to be reasonable. So basically under SF-70, if a person believes that it is necessary to use deadly force to defend him or herself, then that is considered, then they can do that. And then if it turns out that it was a completely unreasonable belief, or gee, they killed, you know, their ex-girlfriend and they take the position that I thought she was going to kill me, that's problematic. So right now, you know, there's just a requirement that your belief be reasonable, and that is interpreted again very broadly, what a reasonable person would believe based on the circumstances you find themselves in. So again, I think current law is already extremely protective of Iowans' rights to defend themselves, others, property.
Democratic State Representative Mary Wolf from Clinton, joined by Republican State Senator Mark Shelgren from Ottumwa. Chase is in Davenport.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. Recently, in the past 5 years or so, I know concealed weapons permits have become very popular in Iowa. Are there any special clauses with these standard ground laws that go with those? Because, you know, from what I'm tracking, you know, I can get in trouble for using it for anything, period. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'd just like some clarification on that.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Jace. Yeah, Senator Shelgren, you want to jump in there?
Well, let me give you two things, first of all. First of all, let's talk about Senate File 70. The reason that Senate File 70 has different qualifications is because it's specifically for your home. And so, therefore, there's a different threshold. And that was written in there intentionally. The second thing about it is when you talk about, concealed carry versus other areas of it, this would have to do with anything. I mean, if you're at a baseball field and you have a baseball bat in your hand, if you have a pocket knife, whatever it might be, the idea behind it is if you feel and you're doing nothing illegal, I mean, it's very clear in the bill, you have to be not doing illegal activity. But if you are legally doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're out shopping, you're going to the mall, you're engaging in day-to-day activities that everyone would acknowledge would be normal activities, then you do not have to be required as part of this to look for an exit if there's a problem. You have the opportunity to be a hero and actually solve a problem potentially. And that comes down to, you know, to whether or not it matters. And not everyone's required. I mean, no one's required to step up to help someone else. That has to do with your own personal conscience. But when that conscience is being influenced because the laws are muddy and difficult, that makes it difficult on people. They have to know that the laws have clarity that say, if you do the right thing, the laws in Iowa will help protect you.
Representative Wolf, did you have something to say to that?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, Chase, I'm sorry. You actually can use your firearm, which you are legally carrying, in defense of yourself, or if you see someone else who is being, you know, raped or beaten, something like that. I mean, you're allowed to protect others, and you won't get in trouble if you use your firearm. So and there is obviously a lack of, we aren't doing a good job of explaining the current law if people believe that, and hopefully that's something maybe various groups can help clarify the current law, which allows people to use a firearm to protect themselves or others if they are confronted with deadly force.
I have a question about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case in Florida that has been mentioned in connection with Florida's Stand Your Ground law. There's indications that George Zimmerman was acquitted and that the Stand Your Ground law played some role in that, but it also definitely played a role in the fact that he wasn't initially arrested, that the officer came and said, because of our Stand Your Ground law, I can't arrest you. It seems like your bill, Senator Shelgren, does something about that issue of being able to be arrested, that it said you can't be arrested unless there's probable cause that force was unlawful. So would your bill in some way make it harder to arrest?
Well, the issue ends up being is there, you shouldn't be arrested unless there's probable cause that you committed a crime no matter what. So are you suggesting that we shouldn't allow an officer to use probable cause in the arresting of someone? I mean, to me, that yes, I think that someone should not be arrested unless there's probable cause and an officer defines that. I would recommend that your listeners go to Huffington Post. 33 states have Stand Your Ground legislation, five of which, according to the Huffington Post, said that states where there is no civil immunity in Stand Your Ground cases, and Iowa's one of those. That's all this is doing is clarifying that. And so I'm using that specific information to show that Iowa does not have the same civil protections that we have in the criminal prosecution side of it.
Okay, I would just mention that I certainly respect Huffington Post, but I'm looking at the Iowa Code, and under 707.6, entitled Civil Liability, it grants immunity to people who stand their ground, who reasonably stand their ground in self-protection, so, or protection of another or property. So, I mean, sometimes the internet gets things a little wrong, and I think that's the case where they did.
I understand that.
Well, Senator Shelgren,
but it's muddied water, as you said.
So, Senator Shelgren, does your bill in some way make it give a person more protection from being arrested?
Does it give them more protection from being arrested?
Does it make it harder to arrest someone in a case where, in the George Zimmerman case, where he's obviously shot somebody to death?
I don't think it does. The way the bill was written specifically was that probable cause is still required to be arrested for anything. And so that's one of the issues that we're trusting the police officer to use their best judgment. But this is focused specifically so that the courts understand clearly that someone's civil rights and civil prosecution needs to have the same threshold as criminal prosecution.
I wonder, Senator Shelgren, hearing Representative Wolf's concerns here, I wonder, both chambers are in control, controlled by the Republican, your Republicans, your party. I wonder if in crafting this bill, you're open to concerns from the Democrats here so that this could be a bipartisan law, bipartisan bill passing both chambers rather than having it pushed through by the Republicans, which you're in a position to do.
Absolutely. Well, I respect Representative Wolf tremendously, and I appreciate her feedback on this. I'd love to go through the process and show directly what the differences would be in hypothetical situations with regards to potential criminal liability and potential civil liability. And that's what we have our subcommittee and committee processes for, is in order to evaluate the strengths and weaknesses of every bill and make recommendations. And both parties are actively involved in that process.
Yeah, Senator Shelgren, I understand that you have filed this bill how many times? Every year since you've been in the legislature, and so this is your seventh time to file this bill?
Well, it's my seventh year, so actually it's filed every other year because we have 2-year sessions.
Oh, okay, so you filed it every other year. I think that this is a high priority of the Iowa Firearms Coalition and other gun groups. So if you get this through, or anybody who votes for this bill, is that going to be a feather in their cap as far as support from the firearms people?
I really don't care. I try to put bills through that I think are important for the people of Iowa, and whether or not individual groups support or don't support them is somewhat trivial to me.
But would you assume that you have a pretty good chance to pass it this year, since Republicans are in the majority?
I think the chances have gone up substantively, yes.
I wonder, Senator, the civil rights leaders in Iowa oppose this bill, your bill, saying it would subject minorities to more violence and instances of racial profiling. What measures would you take to make sure that doesn't happen, or do you not share that concern?
No, well, I think that actually, in that concern, I think that individuals of every racial group or every status group deserve to have the right to protect themselves. Whether someone is, you know, whatever gender they are, whatever race they are, is almost irrelevant in the process. The whole key comes down to Iowans deserve to have full protection of the law, criminally and civilly, to protect themselves and protect their property.
And Representative Wolf, do you share that concern that Ben was mentioning there?
To be honest, no. Okay. I'm not quite. I will say that I also agree that Iowans should have full protection of the law to protect themselves, others, their property. Again, under Iowa Chapter 704, I think they have it, number one. Number two, I think this is a very important issue to a lot of people, including a lot of my constituents. And because of the misinformation and the confusion, which again, if you just read the code, it clears it up. But I would love to see a joint committee between the Senate and the House, and perhaps Senator Shelgren, Representative Winchettle could chair it, where we look at the entire, you know, Chapter 704 in its entirety, go through, fix some of the cloudy language, clarify things, and get a lot of input from citizens, law enforcement, people who have to deal with this on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, I think if we did that, at least people would feel that it had a full and fair hearing, and you know, whatever emerges, no one can claim that they didn't get a chance to speak their piece on it. So okay. I would love to help you with that, Senator Shelgren.
Representative Mary Wolf with Senator Mark Shelgren, talking about Senate File 25, a law that would change the state's Stand Your Ground law. This is from the Capitol's Law Library for our talk show, River to River, hosted by Ben Kiefer and Joyce Russell. This is the weekly podcast, Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble. There's another effort underway to make sure student athletes in collision sports get proper treatment in the event of a head injury. There is already a law requiring an athletic trainer to be present at every varsity game for football, wrestling, and soccer to evaluate any student who may have suffered a concussion. This year's bill would expand the number of healthcare professionals who would qualify to be on hand to assess injuries. Representative Timmy Brown Powers, a Democrat from Waterloo, has firsthand experience with the dangers.
I'm a hockey mom, and so I am very familiar with, you know, coaches possibly sending those athletes back out, those athletes fighting and saying, I'm fine and I'm going to go back out, and playing when they shouldn't be playing.
Representative Brown Powers recalls when her son was hurt playing hockey.
At the end of the night, he didn't remember the game. But he had told the coach he was fine, but there wasn't anybody there to make that real assessment that could have questioned him, looked at his pupils, and probably set him for the rest of the game.
Schools have expressed concerns about cost and the availability of experts to cover all the games, especially in rural Iowa. Public health experts and medical professionals crowded into a committee room presenting a united front against a bill that would allow more Iowans to avoid getting their children vaccinated for preventable diseases. Currently, families can claim a religious exemption. This bill would extend exemptions to anyone with a personal conviction against vaccines. Republican Representative Stephen Holt is the bill's manager. Representative Holt says some constituents believe vaccines have made their children sick, and he will not dismiss their concerns.
I believe in freedom. I do not believe in the concept in this context that government should have the right to order parents to immunize their children. I will vote to advance this bill and let the full committee consider it.
Critics cite disease outbreaks in other states that allow a personal exemption to vaccination laws, including a measles epidemic in California. Unity Point Health pediatrician Nathan Boonstra says the bill would mean more instances of diseases in Iowa.
So some of the most tragic cases that I've seen as a pediatrician have been cases where a child either suffered or even died as a result of a disease that could have been easily prevented from a vaccine.
Boonstra says that includes whooping cough and complications from chickenpox. The bill cleared a three-member GOP-dominated panel. There is a change in the Senate rules altering a long tradition of this chamber moving when a senator can have a point of personal privilege. This is a time where a senator can speak about any topic before the body, and until this week, the time was allowed minutes after the Senate gaveled in. Now it can only happen just before adjournment. The change comes from Senate Resolution 3. Senator Bill Dix explains during the opening remarks for this resolution.
This change will continue to honor those requests. It just puts them at the end of the day, at the end of the time that the Senate has done its work. It's very important as we consider this change. We recognize people travel from all around the state to come here to participate in meetings to be heard. And that's what our goal is. We want Iowans to be heard. We want them to make sure that their work can be accomplished in an efficient and effective manner, and that we're also recognizing the importance of members of this body to represent their issues and their concerns, which will take place then at the end of the day, according to the schedule.
For some time, the House of Representatives has had the point of personal privilege at the end of the day, just like what Senator Dix is proposing. Senator Rob Hogue opposes this resolution and says the Senate should have the points during the Senate's opening.
I can think of many times when we have heard from members about an issue that, you know, we get caught up in the busy schedule of being at the committee meeting, and sometimes you forget to step back and focus on that thing that is really important. So I think this is wrong. I think the proposed change is wrong. I think it is a way of minimizing the Senate tradition and our ability to raise those concerns and affect the agenda the way the House doesn't have it. The House is a much different place. They've got 100 members. It's more unruly over there. Senator Horn taught me when I made the move, the House is a zoo, the Senate is a club. And it is in this club where we're able to have that discussion about the really important issues. And losing that loses a lot for this body.
Senate President Jack Whitfer calls for a voice vote.
Those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senate Resolution 3 is adopted.
An hour later, as the Senate is about to adjourn, Senator Whitfer places the rule into action for the first time.
We are now at that point of the day under our new rules for points of personal privilege. Are there senators seeking the floor?
This is Under the Golden Dome from Iowa Public Radio, a weekly podcast about the legislative session. A Senate bill to eliminate state funding for Planned Parenthood began in a subcommittee this week. It drew hundreds of Iowans voicing their support and opposition for the proposed law. Next week on this podcast, we'll hear a few of those voices, as well as an Iowa Public Radio-hosted conversation from the Law Library with the Iowa Right to Life Director and Planned Parenthood's Public Affairs Director. We will also have a bill supporter, Senator Schultz, and a bill opponent, Senator Peterson, who acknowledged this week in the Senate the likelihood of the bill's passage.
I know you have enough votes to pass this bill. I mean, the bill is sponsored by 29 of you. 28 of you who've never had to have a pap smear before.
This is Under the Golden Dome, a show that we thought would be here in 2017 for 15 weeks. In odd-numbered years, the legislature is scheduled to meet for 110 days, but with the likely passage of a new spending bill reducing the number to 100, this year, the session is expected to last no more than 13 weeks. This is show number 3, and we have 10 more to go. Unless, of course, something unexpected happens, which in politics is always possible. Thanks to our reporters Joyce Russell and Sarah Bowden and talk show host Ben Kiefer for contributing stories to this episode. Catherine Perkins created Under the Golden Dome, and we have editorial support from Michael Leland. I'm John Pimble, host of this weekly podcast. Comes out every Friday here on iowapublicradio.org. Thanks for downloading today's show.